And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT, 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. Phil Collin is away, so we're a short one, Phil, today. We will be talking today with Robin Philpott in Montreal about the elections, which are taking place. But we're going to ask him about the background of the matter. There's some, I think, very striking aspects to the Quebec election that aren't generally talked about, so we'll go into that. And at about 20 past, we hope to be talking to Tiphaine Dixon, a practitioner of international criminal law and also an academic. And we're going to go into this issue of how international tribunals are established and what their function is and how often they malfunction, which I'm going to say is approximately 90% of the time. One other note, just to remind you, we are on SoundCloud and Facebook. You can follow us there. I think we're joined now by Robin Philpott. Are you there, Robin?
Hi, Phil.
Thanks for talking to us. You're having a big election today in Quebec. And right. I was struck by – it's hard to follow it in the English press because they have their own particular interests and they have and there are things that they don't discuss very much about Quebec. But – you have a party there called Quebec Solidaire, and I did. Yeah. I think it was Chantal Hébert in the Star might have mentioned that she raised an eyebrow for everybody for her English readers. They should know that Quebec Solidaire seems to be gaining some political traction. So, yeah. Who is Quebec Solidaire, and tell us, is it true? What are they like? Who are they?
Well, It was sort of a mixture of different people who were, in 95, they worked together with the PQ. They weren't necessarily PQers, but they did work for the Yes. And as the Parti Québécois lost or abandoned some of its more social democratic ideas, a group of more leftist people formed, and they were. It wasn't very clear what their position was, and they came together as this formation, Québec Solidaire (QS), in about 2007. But they've been very marginal since then. They elected one member of the National Assembly. And then a second one, I think it was in 2012. In 2014, they elected three. Mm-hmm. But they've been marginal, except that they've sort of developed their program. It's a socialist, social democratic party.
But, well, by the way, let me ask you just that question. Do they call themselves socialists?
Yes, they do. Socialist and social democratic. I think they use both terms.
They're interchangeable.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But they are... They are a left party. There was a big debate here for last week, and somebody started trying to red bait them a bit as if they're Marxist, and so they were dancing around a bit. But you know, when they had their convention,
some were flattered, some were insulted.
Yeah, but then when they had their convention a year and a half ago, but within the past year, I would say, they invited Jean-Luc Mélenchon, who is the leader of the left, what they call the France Insoumise, to speak at it. He eventually couldn't come, but he spoke by video conference, and he's very clearly a socialist.
Yes.
He's very proud to say that he's a Marxist.
Well, by the way, that must have done a lot for their credibility, right, to have
an internationally recognized leader such as him
addressing
them. Yeah, this man particularly liked... one of the two leaders, and I can speak to you more about the two leaders, but the young man named Gabriel Nadeau-Dubois, who became a person, sort of like a household name in the student strike in 2012. He was, I would say, the sharpest and the strongest and leader.
They almost had a general strike with that student program.
Yeah, exactly, so he eventually joined the QS, Quebec Solidaire, and is now what they call a co spokesperson, a co-leader.
Is he elected, by the way? Does he have an office?
Yeah.
Oh, he is?
He ran in the riding which was formerly held by Françoise David, who was the second person elected. I think she was elected in 2012, and then she resigned. She was very worn out, and Nadeau Dubois won a seat during a by-election in 2016. So then he became one of the co-leaders. And the other co-leader is this woman, Manon Massé.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a interesting woman. She's, she often looks, people say that she looks masculine, but she's from a working class family, worked as a community organizing, and she put a book out a few months ago called Parler Vrai, which is speaking from the heart,
mm-hmm.
which is what she does. And she has become almost inspired a lot of people. And one point that should be known about her, she was on the Gaza flotilla in 2011.
Yes.
And was very proud about it and put out a press release on the Gaza flotilla in May this year.
So, and is she elected member? Is she
She's elected, yeah. She was the third person elected in 2014.
So that was the year, by the way, that she participated in the Gaza flotilla?
A couple of years after. She was there in 2011 in the Gaza flotilla, and then she won the election in 2014. But she stuck on the Palestinian question very strongly, and last spring she challenged the CEO of Hydro-Québec, which is an important company in Quebec, because they signed an agreement on security and protection between Hydro-Québec and the Israeli, I couldn't figure out exactly who it was, but she challenged them, and it was on that video. I even played it on a radio program I have. She was very sharp on Palestine and saying this is not what Quebecers want, and Hydro-Québec belongs to all Quebecers. So, because it's a public, state-owned corporation.
Seems so important to underline all this because we have a terrific, actually, what do we call it, the non-parliamentary politics in Ontario. We have really outstanding people. One that comes to mind is David Heap, who's done great work. But it's just absolutely not discussed here, running for office and having any expectation of being able to win. If you have been part of that solidarity work with Palestine, yet in Quebec you have this woman who she's the party leader, isn't she?
She is the leader.
This is part of her resume, and she's obviously a popular person. She gets elected. It's just striking.
Yeah, it is. She and I just want to say, in this was 5 months before the election. She was on the TV, very critical of the CEO of Hydro-Québec on the question of Palestine. It was and very, very well spoken on the question.
Mm-hmm.
And you might say that the PQ, which has always been pro-Palestinian,
mm-hmm.
has been fumbling the ball on the question of Palestine. You know, the Parti Québécois under Lévesque, and even after in the 1980s, was receiving the PLO in its convention, in its annual or biannual convention, and the PLO representatives, it was the first place in North America but the PQ started doing this kind of clientelism, you know, where they figure, oh, well, we're not going to get involved in this. And so you can see why the Quebec Solidaire is picking up where the PQ was lost. So right now, according to the polls, they're talking about almost 19% each for the PQ and the QS. They're basically fighting for the same people because the PQ has this.
Are you saying that their numbers are hovering close to the PQ?
Yeah. And together.
What would be, if you were to project that, what would that mean they're going to win some seats this time out?
The latest poll, and I don't know what to say about polls, but had the PQ with 12 seats only out of 125, and the QSU with 6 or 8.
Quebec Solidaire, eight seats.
Yeah.
Which would be, doubling their numbers?
Yeah, it would double, more than double their numbers. But you see, we have a gerrymandered? Gerrymandered situation.
Oh, you mean it's not only an American phenomenon?
No, because what happens is, just to give you an idea, the Anglophone vote here is, according to the latest poll, was 71% for the Liberal Party, which has been the most reactionary government on social policy, on everything. And the Anglophone vote would vote 70%. So they can carry ridings with no French-speaking people voting for them. In other words, they can carry ridings because of the way that the... these polls said that the PQ would get 4% of the Anglophone riding, and QS, which is a very progressive organization, only gets about 7% of the Anglophone votes. So what happens if you have the PQ and the QS, who are basically going for the same people, and they work in the same areas. I mean, the PQ has this long history of social democracy. They've been, I would say, they've been fumbling and tripping in the last...
They opened the door to Quebec Solidaire.
They did, and then that fell apart. They had an agreement, and then there's some people in there who didn't want to do it, so it didn't work. So, but I think they're going to have a comeuppance.
Yes.
On tonight.
You think the PQ is going to have problems? Is that...
Well, both of them, because they're going to realize that...
canceling each other.
Yeah, and they've got to work together, and there's some egos are going to
to be a socialist, to be behind every ego is a social program.
Right.
It's not just personalities and handsome people. They're also fighting over a rather important name. My understanding is that the PQ is taking umbrage because the leaders of the Quebec Solidaire are invoking the name René Lévesque, saying they are the disciples or the descendants of Lévesque, who is turned into a statue. They don't remember what an electrifying figure he was.
Yeah, yeah. But the interesting thing is that the PQ and the PQ leader who led a very good campaign for a couple of months, for a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, I would say, three and a half, going after the Liberals, going after this right-wing party, which could come out on top, you know. Mm-hmm. But and then, for some reason, he decided to go after QS. I actually think he was doing a bit of red baiting. He was accusing them of being, basically communist. I think he used the term Politburo, or he had used it, and just backfired on him. Just backfired. And since then, people are, it's even fact. So it was from that point on that she said, well, listen, in 1973, they're accusing Lévesque of being a communist. And in the late 60s, when he formed the PQ, they accused him of being...
He was a Bolshevik.
Fidel of the North.
Yes.
Fidel Castro.
Oh, yes, right. They always compared him to Fidel. That's right.
Yeah, and so she said... In fact, we are those who inherit. We're the descendants of Lévesque because, and then the PQ didn't like that. But she wasn't. She made a good point. I mean, they're not exactly his, his vision, but they are coming. Lévesque and Parizeau, both of them, came out of an international vision of the world. They both had lived through the Second World War, decolonization,
We should remind people, you've done this before, that René Lévesque became known on television for his discussion of the Algerian struggle for independence and his sympathetic portrayal of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Unheard of in North America.
Unheard of, and he'd also been there when they liberated the concentration camps. He was a journalist with the American Army, and he was there, and he had a vision of the world that I think that few people in the following generation could compare themselves to. Well, now we have, I would say, growing.
Yes.
In Quebec is a new generation. There's one thing we should say is that, and this is people have been pointing out to me by a lot of younger people, is that, you know, in 2012 we had this massive student strike, and with the unions getting involved, and it basically brought down the government mm-hmm. in 2012 because there was election and the Liberals lost.
Mm-hmm.
And people were wondering, well, that's going to have a result on the political, what's going on in Quebec. And it's taking its time, but a lot of the young people are right now saying the people who became politicized in 2012 are now speaking up, and that's where the strength of the Solidaire people is mm-hmm. coming from. That's what I'm hearing a lot of. So it's, in other words, and you have one of the key leaders, probably the key leader, is now leader of the QS. So there is a lot of movement, I would say, here.
Yeah, I think it's a very important story, and we're really glad we could talk to you about it. And I guess in a week's time, we probably ought to come back and sort it all out because we'll have our numbers in front of us. But what you point out is very, very important for everybody.
If you allow me just to add one little thing.
Sure.
In 2014, you know, we had this crazy, and I would, in bordering on, I don't know, anyway, I don't want to say it, but on this question of women wearing the veil. Mm-hmm. The PQ went that way. That question has not been raised once during this election, which means that people realize, in other words, the Muslim wearing the Muslim veil, the hijab, that nobody has raised that. In other words, that question has been beaten back. And which is, you know, here you get in a lot of English press saying, oh, Quebec is xenophobic and all this stuff. That, you know, that's just, I do think that is, if they were tinkering with that idea in 2014, and they lost. You know, it didn't work, and it didn't come up in this election once.
And that's the good news.
Very good.
And that's the good news. It's not up.
That's very good news.
That's right.
Yeah,
it's more likely to come up here, as a matter of fact, given what we've got. We'll go into that another time. But Robin Philpott, is a great discussion. I really appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay. Thanks, Phil. Thanks for calling. Bye.
That's Robin Philpott. I should mention that's Baraka Books. They put out a lot of good books. Many of our listeners, Taylor Report, know Stephen Gowans publishes with Baraka. we'll take a little musical break. We're going to come back and talk to Tiffany Dixon about international tribunals and the Myanmar matter.